Live's Top 4 at 4.
All right, here we go. Top 4 at 4 on the drive, brought to you this afternoon by National RX, where I'll be tomorrow from 3 to 6 getting your weekend kicked off fan run style. Here's Marcus Young. Oh, do you need a second? You're chowing down over there.
I was finishing up, but I'm good
now. Are you? I don't know. You sound a little...
I chose the wrong cookie.
Get yourself a little something to drink there. I'll give you this time.
The pipe's lubricated. You ready? Champ?
Thank you, Russell. Number one, apparently Deshaun Watson shot down a settlement offer from the NFL that would have suspended him for less than a year. With the NFL now officially appealing Deshaun Watson's 6-game suspension, there's a real chance that his punishment could be a lot worse, coming up to potentially a year and being on the commissioner's list.
It's about to get really ugly, though. I was reading today where the players' union, and not thinking that he's innocent or anything, but basically as a labor dispute issue, will almost assuredly be suing the league now. So, he's got his civil cases going on right now. He's got the suspension itself that's being litigated. And then it's almost assuredly that the players' union is going to sue the NFL. This whole situation is just a mess.
According to the article, it mentions that the NFL was willing to trim down instead of doing a full year for Watson. They would have done, it looks like, 12 games. And he would have also been fined $8 to $10 million while they were discussing with his team a potential settlement before the news came out. So now they are all hands on deck to go for that.
Wow.
At number two, Aaron Rodgers says that a certain psychedelic has helped him win back-to-back NFL MVP awards. Ayahuasca, I think is how you say that. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Oh, I did it right. He suggested Wednesday that the use of the psychedelic drug helped him win back-to-back NFL MVP awards in 2020 and 2021. He says, I don't think it's a coincidence. I really don't. I don't really believe in coincidence at this point. It's the universe bringing things to happen when they're supposed to happen.
Yeah, he's starting to sound like a guy who does ayahuasca in the offseason.
He said after experiencing, apparently it was one of the best days of his life. So,
been there sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, they say that that stuff changes your perspective, and he obviously looks like a guy who's had a changed perspective. Doesn't look like a bad guy. He's obviously a great player. He's not doing anything. Well, I guess it is illegal, but I don't know.
What's it do for anger management?
Whatever floats your boat.
It's an interesting decision to admit that.
Yeah. What, that you went and did that?
That he has done psychedelics for the last 2 seasons.
He's at a level and a point in his career, on the backside of his career. He's not afraid of any repercussions. Baker Mayfield can't go out there and say the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Even Ryan Tannehill can't go out there and say the same thing. Aaron Rodgers can go out there and talk about that. Brady, if he were into that thing, he's too square. He's not going to be out there taking ayahuasca. He could go out there. Can you imagine like Peyton Manning in the midst of an uber intense drug trip? Oh, Omaha! I get it for Aaron Rodgers. Hey, man, good for him. Whatever floats your boat. As long as you're not hurting
anybody.
Why not?
They say it works. People, they've exhaustive studies now on like people that are like clinically depressed. Clinical depression sometimes. That's horrible, horrible disease.
You want to get some ayahuasca? We do like a fan run event.
Go down to the drunk tank and
ayahuasca with Phil. What I want.
No. I'm going on an 8-hour trip with Phil.
He's the most depressed person I know.
God, could the power of ayahuasca?
Oh, you know what? I see all these colors. Huh? It's kind of cool, huh? Turn up that pink floor there, W. Give me another sip of that ayahuasca.
Number three.
Imagine Phil just like. Total new perspective. Oh, you know what, W? It's just a game. I don't really care anymore. It's just basketball. I'm just here for the people getting along. That's what I care about.
I see him more going like the Colonel Kurtz route. Somewhere up the Tennessee River, hold up.
You're a grocery clerk. sent by Aaron Boys to collect a bill.
That's a great movie.
Number three, the St. Louis Cardinals and the Chicago Cubs will be playing a two-game series in June of 2023 in London. They are returning to London next year for the first time since 2019 after they canceled the game for 2020 due to COVID.
I hate American sports played. And I'm an Anglophile, man. I love all things England. I hate watching American sports played abroad. It's not a jingoistic thing or xenophobic, whatever the word I'm looking for is. It's just, I don't know. It's the National Football League. I feel like it should be played in the nation that it's put in.
MLB.
It's MLB, not the
MLB. Well, also, but you said football. I just want to point that out.
So. Well, yeah, it's the NFL. Baseball.
It's my deal with it.
Either one, I don't care.
It shouldn't be in season. I mean, if you want to do it, I think that there's some pretty major hurdles. But yeah, make it like you just went to. You went and saw Chelsea in a friendly over in Charlotte.
Well, they talked about playing an actual Premier League game, like 39th game in America, and I would be against that too.
Yeah.
I think the friendly games at the beginning of the season are – I think that makes sense.
Yeah, it's cool.
I mean, if I want international soccer, we've got the World Cup. That's what makes it special.
Take your team over to Germany or England and train for 10 days, play a game there with another team, fly back in training camp. That'd be cool.
That's what Boston did the year they won the championship. They went somewhere, I think Italy, before the season started.
Well,
the Celtics.
A bunch of the college basketball teams are leaving town today to head.
We haven't done one of those in a while, have we? Mm-mm. Has Barnes ever done an overseas trip?
I think he has, but I think post-COVID, I don't think he has.
Let's get on the horn with some of those guys, see if they want to do a trip.
I saw that they're we missed that in the Rocky Top report. We can circle back to it. Basketball teams have been putting in work.
They always do. Finally, at number four, more fighting continues around the training camps and practices all over college and NFL. The Saints rookie Trevor Penning was kicked out of practice after his third
fight.
You
see this guy?
Yeah.
Likes to fight guy.
Yeah, but like, there's a lot of people around the league saying, you know, look, and analysts and NFL people are like, you got to stop fighting.
It was in his third fight in 3 days. A dust-up between Penning and defensive tackle Malcolm Roach on Wednesday was the last straw. His new head coach, Dennis Allen, sent both guys to the locker room saying that we don't have time for that. I sent two guys in today, and we got to get our work done. We've got to learn as a team how to compete and how to play, how to practice, push ourselves to the limit, but yet not take it over the edge. The Northern Iowa product has been blocking to the echo of the whistle in training camp, and he just took a little bit too far. Says it's a part of his game.
Somebody put out a clip of plays from preseason from him, and is just always in scuffle, just total scuffle mode.
Let me ask you this: is he going to have to clean that up the same way Drew Gilbert's not going to be able to do some of his?
Yeah, that's a good comparison. Yeah, he'll, and I imagine he would. Otherwise, you're going to be out of the league. I mean, rookie offensive lineman from Northern Iowa. I think he is a first round pick.
Yeah, he was drafted number 19.
I think he'll.
Yeah, but still, dude. I mean, it's an NFL locker room.
They're expecting him. I mean, he's probably going to start. I could see.
I hope he does. This is the kind of thing where if he can't and this just continues, it's a business at the end of the day.
Yeah, but I would imagine they'd give a. I mean, I agree that at some point it's going to cost him a roster spot, but.
Well, no. I mean, he's got a lot of leeway being a first round pick, but I mean, if you can't.
I just mean, like, compared to like guys like Isaiah Wilson, though. Who just was a constant pain in the rear end.
Oh, it sounds like a different problem that he's dealing
with. Well, yeah, I mean, but don't underestimate. This is a problem for them to deal with every day. This kind of you can't have this.
But has there ever been a
dysfunction in practice?
Has there ever been a case in the NFL of a guy who just couldn't stop fighting to the point where they had to cut him and he couldn't play anymore?
Because I think the locker room polices stuff like the league does.
The closest thing I can think of, which is not really fighting, is the whole Incognito thing. That happens, but
he got out of control though.
That's a totally different situation. That's the closest I can think of.
Yeah, he's a whack job and a bully.
Is that four?
That was four.
Thank you. By the way, speaking of Drew Gilbert, went 2-for-4 with an RBI and a stolen base in the second game for the Florida Coast League Astros today. It's the first game of his professional career. He homered in his first at bat on his first day of pro ball, ends up going 3-for-6 with a homer, 2 RBIs, a walk, and a stolen base on his first day of pro baseball. Drew Gilbert hitting the ground running for the Astros organization. Thank you, Marcus. That is the top four at four. It's brought to you by National Law Rex. I'll be out there tomorrow doing the thing from 3 to 6 with us and piping hot Jets pizza for you. Come on out and see us tomorrow as we broadcast live from Farragut's locally owned and operated, veteran-owned and operated pharmacy, National RX, Kingston Pike, right next to Wendy's out west. 865-546-8200. We got What You Talking About coming up in about an hour. Stay tuned for your cue to call. Another order of free wings from Buckethead Tavern up for grabs in a coveted spot in 2022 What You Talk About Champions League. We will crown the winner here in about an hour. Yes, Marcus.
So has there been any kind of, just so I know for Matty Ice's sake, has there been any confirmation from the...
No, that'll come later.
Okay. Just didn't know if the
I haven't even thought about it. I'm still just stuck on demand. Well, that's such a...
I'll say it. I kind of think he ought to be in.
Oh.
I think he ought to have a sponsor's exemption.
Here's where I'm at with it. Normally I would say that if he hadn't used that word, demand.
He's the three-time champ.
I can demand all he wants to.
He's the three-time champ. Put some respect on it.
Nah, I see what you're doing. Nah, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to goad me in.
I'm not trying to goad
you into
anything. You're
trying to goad me in.
No,
see, because you secretly,
it's not
you
all
complain
about you.
A lot. You
it's
complain
not all
a lot,
about you.
But you know this will set me off.
It's not all about you.
This will suck me right back into what you're talking about.
This is.
In the controversy.
This is the three-time champ.
I guess I'm going to pilot
champ,
every
champ.
Afternoon for the next week. Well, y'all do this.
Pilot.
Whatever.
Is it Casey's now?
I don't know. It's the same gas station I've been going to since I was like 10 years old.
I thought you were a Weichel's guy.
I was a what's ever on the corner when we picked my sister up from high school when I was a kid. That's where she wanted to stop.
Let's go to the phones. Phil is next. Good afternoon, Phil.
Marcus Larry, Doug.
Philly.
How are you, Byron Markstone?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. What's the docket for today?
Talking a little bit about, we've been all over the place here so far. I guess the big news locally, you got the running back in camp today. I'm blanking. Lynn J. Dixon.
Lindsay.
You got,
that's good.
Whatever's going on with Kamal Haddon, that's kind of a big injury to monitor. A little bit worried there. And putting on the pads this weekend.
What happened to the kid who played at Alabama that had one or two good games last year in the secondary?
Talk about Brandon Turnage. And, he was the SEC Defensive Player of the Week against South Carolina when who was the nickelback last year that was hurt for one game? And then Turnage started for him. Theo Jackson was out, I believe, for that one game. And then Turnage came in and just balled out. And I guess he's buried on the depth chart. He's been running first team at corner with Haddon out.
Well, I mean, maybe it's not that big a deal. But you want your – as bad as our secondary was last year, we need to have those guys playing up their, at least 100% of their ability because they're probably – I hope that Turretine can be a difference maker in the secondary.
I tell you, I think Turretine and this Wesley Walker kid from Georgia Tech, I'm kind of excited about these two, and that just gives you some options that you didn't have last year, and maybe it'll keep guys fresh, and if, you know, God forbid you do have some sort of injury or something, you've got some other options there, whereas opposed to you go back to the bowl game and – Alante Taylor was out. Feels like maybe another guy or two was banged up that game, didn't play for whatever reason, and they were pretty short on depth looking back on it.
I will throw out there, too, Turretine and Walker both went to the same high school together.
Hey, Ensworth?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they're different like ages, obviously.
Mid-state natives, yeah.
But so they have some familiarity with each other. I'm excited about both of them, honestly. Turretine is a guy that I like a lot. you know, if Ohio State wants them, it's kind of like what you talked about before. You look at who's been offering these guys a scholarship, and if Ohio State
and it's not like it's not like they were run off by Ohio State and Alabama talking about Turnage. It was just those guys wanted to play, and they were kind of buried on the depth chart, obviously behind really stacked lineups, and they saw a quicker path to the playing field at Tennessee. So they're talented players.
Well, that's one way to try to get your roster better is go to these elite programs and their second and third stringers and rate them, because you know they'd be better than what we got on our roster.
Well, yeah. You know, everybody's worried about Tennessee striking out on offensive tackles and the 2023 recruiting class they're working on. And I suppose it is a little bit alarming that they have been unable to attract better talent at that position. But you look at Mincy coming in, and he was a nice prospect that they were able to get out of the portal. And almost look at it, Phil, if you can get a guy who's younger, a freshman or sophomore out of the portal, and you kind of already know what you got, they've been in a college program for a little bit, and then they can't transfer out because they're using that one transfer, assuming that it's the rule stays that way and you can only transfer once. You kind of got them locked in there. So it just gives you another way to get players and attract talent.
Well, that left tackle position, you got Mincy, and here's the other kid that has got about 60 snaps.
J.J. Crawford, who was a guy they kind of took a late flyer on out of junior college last year, played a little bit last year, and he's been getting the first-team reps.
That's key to the offense.
Yeah.
That's key to the offense right there.
It's pretty big. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it is. It was Achilles' heel last year, and hopefully it's not an Achilles' heel this year. And our linebacking situation is, as far as I'm concerned, is Tennessee's linebacking situation is probably the worst in school history of what we've had over here the last 2 years.
I don't like the way this is going, Bear. Can we get Phil a little ayahuasca and cheer him up over there?
Broaden his depression.
His perspective. It's not great, Phil. It's not great. It's better than it was last year.
Saying the heck of not much, is it?
Well, if Mitchell
you got
is
converted running back, it's your best linebacker.
Well, I mean, if Mitchell can come back from his injury last year and return to the same form he was a leading tackler at Texas. And granted, they weren't a great team, but he was still by far their best linebacker.
It's at least as good as it was last year, and you would think a little bit better because all those guys, it's their second year in this system, so
and
everybody improves with time, right?
I mean, as far as Jeremy Banks, it's kind of easy to say he's a converted right. I mean, he played both. He was a linebacker, running back recruit in high school.
Well, a lot of running backs do end up being good linebackers. They used to do that when Chavis was here.
Yeah. Al Wilson was hell of a running back, wasn't he?
Not a bad player. I bet Jeremy Banks plays pro football.
Yeah, if he didn't fumble, he'd probably be our starting tailback.
Yeah.
That's a sad part. He's probably the best running back on the team, Phil.
I think the key to their season, the linebacker is Herring and that cat from Kentucky. Can they give any snaps at all in the backup role? Because you can't have these guys just playing multiple snaps every game. And I mean, sooner or later, you're going to burn out.
Well, they rotated a lot last year in the first couple of games. And then it seems like after Mitchell got hurt, it was just Banks and Beasley all the time.
Yeah, it was.
And you would like to have a rotation if they're going to be playing as many snaps, which hopefully they aren't. Hopefully the defense is better and the offense is better and you're not playing over 100 snaps on defense a game. But if it's relatively the same number, you want to be able to at least have another platoon that can go in there and spell guys so that they're fresher at the end of the games and throughout a season.
Yeah. Well, the basketball team, I saw that picture of my lifting weights, or was that the – Tarik Key, the one who's doing the lifting.
I haven't seen this. Do we have greased up oil pictures again of a college weightlifting picture? That's always a little strange, right?
There was a
there's
a photo of I think it is Key number 11, who's lifting some weights and everyone around him cheering him on aggressively.
Oh, wow, he's got a lot there. Is he just doing shrugs, or is that a squat?
It looks like he's doing shrugs.
Ooh. Yeah, he had a bad shoulder. I hope that thing was 100%.
I don't know. I would be doing shrugs with. Well, he's got at least.
Who is that in the picture?
425. Something. He's got about 250 pounds. He's picking up there.
That's Tariq Key. Tariq Key, isn't it?
Yes.
He's going to be our ace in the hole on the team next year. I'd say he'll be. I think he's a bigger version of Lamonte Turner.
Tariq Key.
He's a real basketball player. Not the most athletic guy in the world, but he's smart. He's got a good body. He knows how to use it. There's not many basketball players who know how to use their body to, they just use their athleticism. That's all they do.
Yeah, I mean, you got to – it's about skill development, right? I mean, you got to put the work in, Phil.
Yeah, well, he had a good AU coach in Feltner, so and I'm sure he's fairly well coached at Indiana State. So maybe it would be nice to get hit lucky in the transfer portal because we haven't done it in basketball. Most of the ones we bring in here in basketball are complete duds.
Rick Barnes will have a roster.
Yeah, competitive.
Rick Barnes will always have a roster. That's my story. Yeah. I'm sticking to it until proven wrong.
I know, you've been saying that, and I guess we'll have one next year, and I guess the team will probably turn over 6 to 8 scholarships. Like that's the way it is every year. Yep. Now, isn't it?
It's college basketball in 2022, man.
I heard the Blitz is coming back. Are you going to move Marcus over there?
Oh, yeah. Lord. That's what it is. That's why he brought us energy drinks and cookies.
No,
and
water. No, this is news to me of the Blitz coming back.
Are you going to the Blitz?
I have not heard anything about the Blitz until
Say whatever you want to say, but the clock's ticking.
There's something strange in the air here at FanRun today. I mean, we're getting food.
New chair.
What are they not telling us? What have they done?
I don't know, man.
That they know that we would explode.
So I missed those were 45-pound plays. This guy's lifting 500 pounds plus the bar.
Yeah, he's a major college athlete.
Who's recovering from a shoulder operation.
Again, he's in a major college basketball program under the guidance of his strength coach and the medical staff. I'm assuming that, I'm just going to assume they wouldn't let him do anything that was going to hurt himself.
You lift that, Marcus?
No. You kidding me?
You couldn't even
get it off
the ground.
He wouldn't lift that in a week.
That? No, I don't think so. I would try, but I don't think I could.
865.
What do you think would happen if you tried to lift that?
The terms lower lumbar, agony,
traction,
total debacle come to mind.
Complete disaster. Yeah.
Discectomies, major surgeries.
I'm thinking a morphine drip, some ayahuasca.
Feel like
me and Phil just zoning out.
Candy flipping.
Putting on a little Exile in Main Street and just shut the blinds, zone out, man.
Tuning in, turning on, and dropping out?
I'm not a grass expert.
I feel like if Bear tried it, his arms would just pop off like an action figure, you know?
He would stand up, and the arms would just be rip off and still attached to the bar.
Mine would still... My back wouldn't hold up. It'd go before his.
Quick break. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio, Thursday afternoon edition of the show. Stay with us. We're back with more after this. The docket brought to you by Fan Run. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit stunned here. Shocking, but the Fan Run Freakout. The
Festival.
Fan Run Ayahuasca, the Fan Run Fest.
Yeah.
Is actually getting a lot of traction.
He's got a lot of traction.
Demanding that. That's our audience.
Our people.
That's our people, ladies and gentlemen.
Some black lights, an original pressing of Dark Side of the Moon, and a 35-millimeter print of The Wizard of Oz.
Who's in charge of this?
Dr. Cody. He lives in a tool shed in a ranch in Rancho Cucamonga, California.
The docket brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the Car Wreck Pro attorneys this afternoon. The big news in the sports world is Brittany Griner, Russian court sentencing the WNBA star to 9 years in prison today, an expected conclusion to her trial that should allow negotiations for a prisoner swap to accelerate. Of course, Griner has been held in captivity since February 17th for bringing cannabis into the country. Had been prepared for a harsh sentence, but she and her supporters have also been aware that Russia is not going to move forward with the trade that could bring her home until her trial was completed. So guilty verdict was considered a foregone conclusion. She pled guilty back on July 7th. And looks like this is... So we're going to trade Dr. Death for Brittany G.
For Brittany Griner, and I think his name's Paul Whelan. The problem I have...
Oh, Paul Whelan. Like, nobody knows who that guy is.
He's a guy, I think he's a former Marine. He's been accused of being a spy. He's probably in a hell of a lot worse situation than she is.
But think about how grateful that guy should be that Brittany Griner got arrested. Because she's going to end up being his ticket out of there.
Yeah. What's sad is there's another woman who's been there for like 5 years.
An American?
Yeah, for the same thing Griner. She like took hash oil or something in there in a vape pen like a dumbass. Like Griner.
Is she getting out?
I don't think so.
Oh, man.
And apparently, like, Putin's slow playing it. He's like...
Wait a minute.
Like, he's worth more than the Minister of Death.
With a straight face that Russian President Vladimir Putin is up to shenanigans and tricks, Bear? I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem right.
My response to him would be, all right, I'll tell you what. We're just going to fly him to Sierra Leone and turn him over to those people. Or any of the other 8 African countries where he committed war crimes, and just let them do their thing that they do over there. Just chop your head off if you're a monster.
Oh! Maybe we ought to be doing that. Save us a lot of time.
I'm not going to get started, but yeah, I mean, it sounds like, you know, as long as, I mean, who knows? These things can go south in a hurry. Somebody get offended.
Speaking of getting busted with weed in the airport, another big weed day on the drive. This is becoming a recurring theme, and I don't know how I feel about it. Former NBA star Amon Shumpert arrested for cannabis possession on Saturday afternoon at DFW.
What did he have?
He had 6 ounces of cannabis. Is that a lot?
Yeah.
6 ounces in a bag when he tried to pass through the airport security for his flight to L.A. from Dallas-Fort Worth. In Texas, possession of more than 4 ounces of cannabis constitutes a felony. So he was taken from the TSA checkpoint to the DFW airport jail.
6 ounces?
Nope.
I don't know. I don't know.
Think it's his own personal use? Maybe he was headed to Fan Run Fest.
I mean, he could have been. I mean, look, all I'm saying is the chief back in the day, the great one, one of the greatest guys that ever strapped it on in the NBA, Robert Parrish, not only got popped with a pound.
Do you strap it on in the NBA? Or?
Yeah, you still strap it on and go play. Yeah, sure, why not? Why do you got it side-derailed? Derail my...
Sorry.
I'm just saying.
Sorry.
He got popped with a pound, made the argument in court.
Sorry.
That he bought in bulk, and they bought it. They didn't get him with intent to distribute.
He buys weed the way some of us buy toilet paper at Costco. He's just stocked up for the year.
Robert Parrish isn't going to buy a damn dime bag every 3 days. He's going to buy a damn pound, set up in his mansion, and roll fat ones and look at basketball film.
I'm not a grass expert.
I'm sure that's what he was doing when he was high, watching film.
I don't know. The guy won a lot of titles, man.
Meanwhile, closer to home, a Farragut man has been arrested for reckless driving on Tuesday after receiving calls about a man brake-checking cars. According to WVLT, 72-year-old Clinton Reeves arrested on I-640 near the Western Avenue ramp. Witnesses reportedly told officers that they had seen Reeves brake-checking vehicles, driving across lanes, and moving into the shoulder of the interstate.
When was this?
Tuesday.
When did you have your
Tuesday?
Your episode at Kroger.
Oh, that was Monday night?
Okay.
Is he trying to accuse you?
No,
right
now? Yeah, I don't. Where were you trying to go with that? You hadn't even thought that far ahead, have you? You don't know where you were trying to go with that.
No, I do, because the same night you had your incident, I had somebody acting crazy behind me in a car, but it nowhere near came anywhere close to the weirdness of your story, so I never told you about
it. Might have been this guy. During the incident, Reeves reportedly told officers on the scene that he intentionally brake checks FedEx trucks because, quote, he knows it is FedEx policy to not drive in the left lane. Seems kind of weird. The report also stated that in the last year, officers had received 83 calls about reckless driving associated with Reeves' license plate number. So apparently it's just something this guy does.
I swear to God, I wonder if this is the guy, because there was a guy behind me on Bradshaw Garden, and he was behind me, but it's got a double yellow line. Bradshaw Garden is a neighborhood. You're driving through a neighborhood, so, it's 20 miles an hour, 25 maybe. So I go to the speed limit. A lot of families live on that street. So this guy's like revving up, getting right up on my rear bumper, all the way up that big long hill, and then he turned off. But that's right around that area. So I don't know. Maybe it was. 72-year-old man going nuts.
Get him off the road, man. Take his license away. Take his car away. Execute him. Okay, maybe that's a little bit much. At least get him off the road.
Yeah. 72 years old, cranky old man. I hate a brake checker.
Oh, just the worst.
You ever brake check anybody?
I hate a brake checker. You ever brake check anyone?
I mean, I'm just asking if you've done it.
No. I don't mess around in a car.
What do you do when people tailgate you? Just move over?
Generally, yeah.
Is that what you're going to say?
Maybe give them the one finger salute. I mean, what are you going to do?
Get their attention.
You either speed up or you move over. It's pretty much your only options, right?
Tap that light on. There's a difference between brake check and touching your foot to the pedal enough to make that light come on.
Why would you want to do that?
To get them to slow down.
Oh, that always works when somebody's tailgating. They're like, oh, I'm sorry. Was I following too closely? You're right. I'm just going to slow down. Everybody slow down. Take it easy. After all, we are driving motor vehicles.
Well, usually they slow down naturally to catch their breath and figure out if they've crapped their pants after someone stands on their brakes.
Note to self, never ride in the car with beer. I don't think I've ever ridden in a car with you anywhere.
No, you always drive me. I was going,
I ride with you. Control issue. I don't like
and I
to
ride with Chance. No, but the deal, I like riding with you guys, like you and Chance specifically. Y'all got nice rides, man.
It is weird when you're so used to driving and then you're in the passenger seat.
I hate it.
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, he's had two like really nice, like weirdly comfortable SUVs, and Collins, it's like sitting in some kind of gazillion-dollar leather recliner if you're riding his big ass truck. I could drive from here to California with Chance. That's the most comfortable car I've ever.
Is it as comfortable as your new chair there?
Oh yeah, man. We're talking like damn seats in that thing probably cost $10,000.
The docket. Huh. Chance, Captain Moneybags, Bear putting his business out there. Brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the Car Wreck Pro attorneys. Whether you've been in a car or motorcycle accident, you need workman's comp or help with your Social Security disability. Going to need the best lawyers and best law firm on your side. Fox and Farmer offers a free consultation to discuss your case and answer any questions you may have. They've got over 100 years of combined experience right here in East Tennessee, helping folks just like you get the settlements they deserve. Remember, at Fox and Farmer, they don't get paid unless you get paid. So what do you got to lose? Give them a call today and set up that free, no-obligation consultation. 865-531-9400 is the phone number. 531-9400. Tell them Fan Run Radio sent you. You can also visit their website, foxandfarmer.com. It's Fox and Farmer, the Car Wreck Pro attorneys, working a call from TJ, the Kentucky fan. Good afternoon, TJ. You're on the drive.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Hey, not too bad. Man, Brittany Griner, 9 years in prison, huh?
9 years in the gulag.
She'll be home before Christmas.
Oof. Yeah. I got my own thoughts about that, but we'll save that for a different time. Hey, look, six more days. We've got some college sports coming up. Kentucky basketball down there in the Bahamas. Is Tennessee doing anything like that this summer?
Tennessee's playing in the Battle for Atlantis. You talk about Thanksgiving week tournament?
No, so I know Tennessee did it, I think, last year or 2 years ago. I think they went to Canada and played. But Kentucky's going down there next week and playing some basketball games. I know Duke did it the same year Tennessee did it. I just didn't know if y'all were doing it this year or not.
We were talking about that earlier.
And we did. Now, when are we going to the Bahamas?
That's Thanksgiving. You can do that every year. Everybody plays in a Thanksgiving tournament now. But the foreign trip is usually preseason, usually done in August. And I can't remember the last time Tennessee did it. Now, there's a rule. It's an NCAA thing. You can do it once every 4 or 5 years. And it's been a while since Tennessee's done something like that. So I know they don't have a plan to do it this year.
As far as football, I know Hendon Hooker – exceptional quarterback. Y'all were talking the other day, I think Bear mentioned it. You want to go 4-8? You want to go 3-9? So I'm just asking, as an outsider, do you guys have a backup plan? Is there no one behind him? Is there no one proven behind him? Who do you guys have besides Hooker?
You got big Joe Milton, baby. Guy can throw it clear over the Smoky Mountains. He's the Uncle Rico of the SEC. What are you talking about? Who's the backup?
Well, not being a Tennessee fan, I forgot about him. But how could I? Because I think it was, the first 3 or 4 games of voluntary reaction 2 years ago, you guys,
he had a little accuracy issue, TJ. But guys can improve. And behind him, we've got Taven Jackson, who I think is going to be a really good player. And then starting next year, we're going to have Nico Iama-Pajama, hot 5-star action. You wouldn't know nothing about that being a Kentucky fan. You guys don't get 5-star quarterbacks unless it's Tim Couch.
Is his last name really Pajama?
No.
Oh, I was hoping it was. That would have been one of the nicest last names ever. What happened to the kid? I think it was with Butch Jones, quarterback. He was skinny, but he had an arm on him. Oh, maybe he had blonde hair. I can't remember.
You're talking
name.
About Bray?
Yes. Where did he go?
He was in the NFL for a good 7 or 8 years. I think he's out now, but he was with the Chiefs for a while and with the Bears for a while. He might have gotten in a handful of games. I don't think he ever started a regular season game, but.
Left his junior year, though, for the NFL.
Yeah, he was very immature young man when he was here in Knoxville. Had a couple of brushes with the law. Nothing major, but just stuff you don't want to see from your quarterback. And he grew up a lot. There was a podcast that came out with him last year. Some guys down in Southern California did it with him, and it was like they were talking to a completely different person. So
that's crazy. Well, hopefully he did get his life turned around. Sounds like he did. Always, even being a Kentucky fan, I always had high hopes from him, from, you know, his high school tapes and all that stuff. He had a cannon on him. But hey, man, we're almost there. There's football this month. There's actually football tonight. I don't know if you guys are going to watch it.
Oh.
I might watch a quarter of it.
I love the Hall of Fame game because it never fails. I always get so excited. It's like, oh, the Hall of Fame game is tonight, and you turn it on and you see the pregame pageantry, the circumstance. They're in Canton. It's that cool, like, high school stadium vibe going on. And then they get out there and you realize, A, there's nothing to play for. B, there aren't many starters in. C, if there are starters in, they're only in for one drive, and the quickness with which I lose interest in the Hall of Fame game is amazing. I'm usually out of there 2 minutes in.
Yeah, it's football, but it's not going to be football, if you know what I mean. Hey, you guys have a good night, man.
Thank you, TJ. So Tyler Bray, when last we heard, was released by the 49ers, who he spent last year with on the practice squad.
Okay.
Actually, he was with the Bears for most of last year.
The Bears.
Was released at one point,
mm-hmm.
and then was on. He was with the 49ers from December 29th of last year to January 12th of this year. So what, 2 weeks? Was that when their season ended? They lost to the Cowboys, right?
The 49ers? No, they lost to.
They lose to the Rams.
Rams in the championship game.
Yeah, the NFC championship game.
They beat Dallas.
They could have easily won that game.
Oh, yeah.
So Bray, I mean, he was in the NFL from 2013 through 2020 and then was on did some practice squad type stuff last year, just bounced around. He's appeared in two games. Appeared in one game with the Chiefs in 2017 in which I don't think he's thrown a pass. He's one of six passing. In his NFL career.
But he's fully vested for like the long term pension, right? He's made rosters all these years. I'm not sure how the practice squad works.
Bray is a member of Citizen Potawatomi Nation.
What?
Citizen Potawatomi Nation is a federally recognized tribe of Potawatomi people located in Oklahoma. The Potawatomi are traditionally an Algonquin-speaking Eastern Woodlands tribe. They have 29,155 enrolled tribal members, of whom 10,312 live in the state of Oklahoma. Tyler Bray is a member.
Was he always a member? Is this something he just...
I think he just became a member when he moved to the Chiefs.
Nice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know. They say he's got – it's like people down here, man, like we all got some Indian blood in us, right?
Yeah. So our forefathers were
– it's like
– kind of rapey.
It's like well, – point with a broad brush, why don't you? It's like Miller out here. Like to hear Jake to Miller tell it, he's like half Cherokee.
Half bear.
He wants reparations or something. Yeah. Miller's over here thinking he ought to be running a casino or something.
He wants pound sand.
He wants some land outside the studio.
Yeah. Say, so get on Nate's
lawn. Like, dude, your name is Jake Miller. I'm sorry. Nobody's closely identifying you with some sort of oppressed Indian tribe. Oh, he's mad right now.
He doesn't get big mad.
You know, TJ got me.
He's got an hour and 14 minutes before he can get his word back.
I'm looking at, like, the starters that we've had over the years. Garantano was the only, like, the last one in 2018 to play all 12 games without having, like, split games throughout a season. Before that was Dobbs in 2016. And before that was Tyler Bray in 2012. So We've had multiple seasons for a while now, for the last 10 years, where it's been...
Now you can go back further than that.
Who's going to start? Well, yeah.
That's when the real trouble started for Fulmer. Started with the quarterback controversies.
So we're working like heck.
Did you see somebody tweeted out, like, highlights? I haven't seen him in forever from the game against LSU down there, the overtime win, when Riggs scored the touchdown.
I was there.
That was the one you were at?
Hottest place I've ever been in my life, Baton Rouge.
Those people were, I've forgotten how absolutely just gobsmacked, devastated those slack-jawed swamp people were.
I was almost in several fights on the way in there and on the way out of there. It was dangerous.
They don't seem like a fan base that handles losing well.
No, man. And the thing that was so weird about that game was it was the year after Katrina. Or it was the year of Katrina.
Yeah.
So they had... It was their first game. We had played like three games, and their season had basically
been
shut down.
It had another storm hit after Katrina, right?
Yeah, Hurricane Rita. I flew through Hurricane Rita, like on my way down there. Which, looking back on it, what the hell was I thinking? But
idiot.
like the vibe down there was they were throwing rocks and stuff at the Tennessee bus. You would think that, hey, football's finally here.
Let's have a little brother, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, how many tractor trailers of water and supplies?
Total tribal. Just
crazy, because I mean, like, I remember Tennessee always comes through on
somebody threw a football. Like, I got hit in the head with a football.
That kind of makes me laugh.
Thrown from, I mean, I know it would, but like at the time, it's like, Jesus, what are these people just walk up to me, like just cussing me, and you can't really do anything about it because I was with some LSU fans. So I mean, I was just, it was like as I was walking in there, I was like, you know what? Might have been a bad idea. Might have been a bad idea to wear my Tennessee stuff. I should have gone incognito. Quick timeout. The drive continues. Back to wrap up hour number two right after this. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Bear Marcus and who am I?
Russell.
Russell Smith, that's me. Welcome back. Thursday afternoon edition of the show. Chowing down on some delicious crumble cookies today in studio. Shout out to Crumble over there on Clinton Highway. Up next, Brad in La Follette. Good afternoon, Brad.
Afternoon, guys.
Hey, what's up, dude?
I'm enjoying this lovely weather we got here. No rain.
No rain, like Blind Melon back in the day. How about that like gully washer that just came out of the blue last night? I'm sitting, we got the fire going in the backyard. I'm thinking, okay, it's just a nice August evening in stately Smith Manor. And then next thing I know, trees are sideways. We got a full-on gully washer going on in West Knoxville. Did you guys have that? Power was out in a couple neighborhoods.
Yeah.
We didn't have no power outage. We had potted plants laying everywhere. Yeah, they kind of done a number on the old back deck. But, yeah, I had to bat down the hatches a little bit last night.
Good stuff. We're all still here, Bear. We're all still here, Brad. We survived the great storm. 2022.
Guys, I enjoyed that Gabriel interview. I mean, of course, he never disappoints. But I thought it was funny. He was talking about the disco demolition night. And I actually had to do a book report on that in school. It was events gone wrong. And, you know, half the class done theirs on like Woodstock and stuff. But I found that. And man, I done a deep dive on that.
Yeah,
that was incredible. I know you and Bear probably know about it, but there was like 60,000 people in the midweek game. There were people jumping over the fence. There was the fire marshal was threatening to shut the place down because there were so many people there.
And now, was it in between games of a doubleheader that they were going to burn all the disco records?
Yeah, they had them in a big box in center field, and they put some pyrotechnics out there and blew it up, and that got everybody into it. Plus, it was dollar beer night.
Yeah,
and that got everybody into a frizzy, and then people started coming onto the field, and there was a bonfire in center field. If you listen to some reports, there was a couple having sex in the third base coach's box.
Nice.
Harry Carey was on the PA singing, taking me out to the ball game, trying to get people into their seats, and it looked like Sodom and Gomorrah out there. It was hilarious.
The total decline of Western civilization on display, all because of a cheesy radio promotion. Love it.
So, did they blow him up or they set fire to him?
They had some fireworks out there, some pyro to make it look like they did. Actually, it was a pretty big explosion. I mean, you couldn't do that today.
No.
I mean, I'm sure there was shrapnel going everywhere, but
I don't think that stuff's really good to breathe in if you're burning vinyl records.
No. It was pretty funny. Well, Bear, I'm glad to hear you got your seat, buddy.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about it, man, Brad, to be honest with you.
Just feel good about it. That's how you should feel, good. Somebody did a nice thing for you, or your life has improved. That's when you feel good. That's what normal humans feel at times like that.
Yep. Guys, I appreciate it.
Thank you. Brad, appreciate you, man. Were you always like this? Like on Christmas morning when you were a kid and they hand you a present, were you like, I don't know how to feel about this? It's like you feel good, Bear.
I mean, I guess when I was a kid, I liked it, but I quickly got to the point where I'm like a don't buy anything for me guy.
Getting gifts on the list of awesome things Bear hates.
No, it's not.
Yes, what you just said.
There's a difference. I know it's very subtle, but it's different. I just don't like people. It's not a hate thing.
Okay, what is it you don't like?
I just don't like it.
What?
If I want something, I'll go out and buy it for myself.
All right, getting gifts. It's going on the list.
I don't hate getting gifts.
From my understanding.
Do you like getting gifts?
Depends.
Make up your mind, man. Yeah, you're arguing with yourself right now.
I just what I'm tired of is not being able to say anything without worrying about whether or not it's going on that stupid damn list.
I have more comments on this later.
All right,
please.
We will be circling back. Stay with us. It is The Drive, hour number 3, coming up.